think I have it. Is this on? Did I put it on? I don't know. Okay. Let me look. Yes, I think I did. Okay, good. I've used this before and have a nice sound system, good sound system here. George Porter is my name and district superintendent here in the Franklin District, and I've preached from this pulpit a couple of times with different district occasions, but glad to be here for a Sunday morning to preach and to share God's word with you. First of all, just before I read the scripture lessons, a little introduction. Kathleen is my spouse, or I'm her husband. I don't know how that works, or I'm her spouse, and we're glad to be here. We live over by the airport, so it's not very far from here at all. We have three children. They live basically on the East Coast now, which is a good thing. And we have five grandchildren, one to be born any second. So maybe it's any day. It's hard to tell, right? But we've been married for whole bunches of years. And really do enjoy living life together. Want to wish God's blessings upon each one of you as we worship today. And want to emphasize that we want to pray today for our work team who's away in Uganda. We want to pray for your pastor and all the staff here. What a wonderful, wonderful church this is. And we want to pray today for all of you and all the people of the church. And want to pray for our church connected as the people of Jesus Christ, that we happen to call United Methodist, that we live in the same tradition across this district and across our conference, and certainly all those to whom and with whom we're connected in the name of Jesus Christ around the world. And as we vote, you know, we've talked a lot about that in prayer concerns already and call to worship this morning. I want to encourage each one of you to vote. There we go. I want to encourage each one of you to vote several times, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, many of us have different ideas of how things should go. And, of course, that's who we are. That's what democracy is. But no matter what, you know, vote and let people know that you're there. That's critically important, folks. Okay, our first scripture lesson this morning is from Isaiah chapter 25. And just a few verses, verses 6 through 10, 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. In our scripture lesson from the Gospels this morning, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. This is, I am sure, very familiar territory for you as far as this scripture lesson this morning. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this gathering together this morning to worship you, to praise you, for your Spirit to come among us as we hear your word and then commune together to go out and live as your disciples. Bless now these words of Scripture and our hearing and understanding of these words. And Lord, bless the words that are to be spoken, that indeed they would be yours. In your holy name, Lord, amen. Now, as a grandpa, I'm going to start out with a grandchild story. About two of our grandchildren, two of our five. The first one is Jack, who's 12 years old. I had to check with Kathleen this morning. How old is Jack? He was born in 1970, George. Now, figure that out. You know, 12 years old, right? Jack is 12 years old, and very much a 12-year-old boy. Oh, my goodness. And one of the privileges he had this last year was to be a, what they call a talented extra in a movie that was filmed in Pittsburgh. And he belongs, he's in part of a dance troupe in Pittsburgh, so they asked their dance troupe to be part of this movie. And the movie is, it was, I think it was in the theaters for all of 28 hours, but it was the movie Won't Back Down. Actually a fairly decent movie, but it had difficulties. But Jack was in this movie nonetheless, and I know when we went to see the movie with Jack on its premiere, it was interesting to see him because when you're an extra in a movie, you have no idea if you're going to be in the movie or if you're going to be in the anywhere. And so he had no clue. But we sat and watched this movie, and Jack, as we were going through the movie, 2 hours long, by the way, he was getting to be pretty fidgety because he just wasn't there, and his work wasn't there, and the very last scene. And he was in this movie, and there was Jack. We could tell him immediately, and there was Jack on, like, what, 20, 30-foot screen, as big as ever can be. And so that worked out really well for him. Well, one of his cousins, Ellie, and then she's the one that's going to have a sister any minute now. Ellie loves all of her cousins, oh my goodness, completely, but Jack, she adores. That's all there is to it. Ellie has just turned 5 years old on All Saints Day on Thursday, on November 1st, and she just thinks Jack is the very best. So her mom, Emily, took, our youngest daughter Emily, took, they live in Washington, D.C., took Ellie to the movie to see her cousin Jack in the movie. And we told Ellen, Emily, when... Ellen's the other daughter, but we told Emily when Jack would be in the movie. So Ellie just sort of sat during that movie, all 2 hours, that little four-year-old Ellie waiting to see Jack. And then the scene came on with Jack, and you know, Emily had sort of nudged her and said, this is it. And she saw her cousin Jack, and she proclaimed in the movie theater, "That's my real cousin Jack." And later on, she was at a birthday party later on that day. In the middle of the birthday party, she said, "I saw my real cousin Jack in a movie today." She just loves Jack. Well, folks, that's witness. That is the way to witness. You know, that is telling the story about reality that maybe others did not know. No one knew that that was her real cousin Jack, and she wanted everyone to know. Now, I think you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Our witness needs to be, in whatever way, that is my real Savior, Jesus. And we need to live that. We need to say that as we forgive and embrace and repent and witness with our lives every day. That needs to be yelled and told and lived so that all around will know our real friend, Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 25 that I read just a couple of minutes ago, that talks about another reality, but really the same one, the reality of God's love for creation. And that's proclaimed in this passage in the midst of people being in exile, the Israelites being in exile. And they are full of hurt, and the world around them is full of hate, and they are suffering. But the prophet Isaiah here shows that God, no matter what our situation, comes shining through and says, you know, and tells of the day that God will gather all people and provide a banquet of rich food and drink. And says that shroud, you know, that covering that covers all people, you know, the distrust and the way people hurt one another so very willingly, the way people hate, that shroud will be destroyed. And Isaiah proclaims that death will be swallowed up forever, and tears will be wiped away, and all people will be glad. And like in the spirit of our granddaughter Ellie, the people will say, that is my real Lord, as they praise God for life itself. As they praise God for the one who has given us an incredible gift of life to live every day. In Mark chapter 12, whew. I'm okay, right? It was just a plug, I know that. Jesus was asked, which commandment is the first of all? Now, Jesus was asked that really to test him, but also that rabbis often distinguish some commandments to be of lesser importance. So it was really a legitimate question for Jesus. And Jesus answered this question with the same thing that scribe knew, that morning and evening every Israelite had to recite this. And Jesus said, here's this first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. I added heart. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As I was putting notes on my word processor earlier this week, it comes up with suggestions, as you know, for, as some of you are familiar with what, how you should word things. And it was interesting. In this commandment that Jesus spoke, the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. My word processor said, why don't you use the word entire? Never thought about that. Listen to this. You shall love the Lord your God with your entire soul and with your entire mind and with your entire strength. It makes what we are to do pretty much encompassing our whole life, doesn't it? Everything. Now, the second commandment that Jesus spoke, love your neighbor as yourself, is not second in importance, because the first cannot be kept without the second. Jesus clearly explains that here. You must love your neighbor as yourself, and you absolutely must live it. To love your neighbor, Jesus showed us in this passage and so many other places, as he spoke and as he lived, to love your neighbor is to love God. And also, let me remind you, do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? To love your neighbor is also to love your enemy. Because Jesus shows us our neighbor is also our enemy. Edward Schweitzer wrote, Jesus' answer to the scribe in this question is really an invitation into the kingdom of God. An invitation to love, to forgive endlessly, and with every one of our breaths, to witness to the kingdom of God. Now, if you look in the Gospel of Mark, previously to all of this, Jesus answered, one, a question about resurrection. He said, you remember the passage, God is the God of the living, not the dead. Then previously also to this passage, Jesus, you remember this passage? He said, the conclusion was, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And so here we are in this passage today. The scriptures progress from the most common concerns, you know, about life and death and taxes and material possessions, come to this point to what God really understands what is important. The commandment how to be kingdom people, the commandment how to live, interact, talk, and again, how to live the kingdom of God every day, how to relate with each other, with the world, with Christ, and with God. You know, these days are incredible. The gift of life, and I'm going to use a really overused word, the gift of life is awesome. I hear so many people grumbling and complaining. I do a tad of that myself, by the way. But how wonderful, and what a wonderful gift is life. We must understand that. And you know, right now we're in the midst of this messy democracy thing. What a gift that is, too. As messy, as uncomfortable, as negative, as, think about it, we get to vote. Oh my goodness. And the world around us is beautiful, too, and creation is powerful. You know, witness the storm this week. The gift of other people in our lives is a blessing. And the fact that Isaiah pointed out in our passage today that death is destroyed, that blessing cannot even be described with words. You're all in ministry in the community, in the world, among yourselves, in the church. I mean, you sent a team to Uganda. And many of you, I want it to be someday all of you, are intentionally witnessing every day, to love of Christ in your life and in the world. And then with all of that goodness, we do have people who think everything is wrong unless others think and understand the world around them just as they do. Did you ever meet someone like that? That's just plain wrong thinking. You know, God gave us a myriad and variety of minds so we can witness and live in creation and praise God and dialogue in so many different ways. And understand the parts of creation that we're not even comfortable with. Because all of creation is God's and God's alone. So when someone doesn't think like you, that's okay. You know, God is the judge. We're not, by the way. And we need to live our lives in that way, loving our neighbor, loving our friend, and loving our enemy too. This Sunday in the church calendar is labeled All Saints Sunday. Taylor Burton Edwards said, this is the day that we remember loved ones that we hold dear. We remember martyrs also on All Saints Sunday. We're going to sing that song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, after the sermon this morning. We remember saints, remember martyrs, some who proclaimed, my real Jesus with their lives. I have two experiences. I was in Russia once with a work team. Not a work team, a youth mission trip from our annual conference. It was a good trip, and the youth, 15 of them, 14 of them, learned an awful lot, and me too, by the way. We all had host families that we spent time with also, even the leaders. And one day, as the families that my host family had taken me different places to see their life, their area, one Sunday morning, now they were Jewish, but one Sunday morning after we went to church, Christian church, they said, "We want to show you one more thing, George." They took me to a cemetery, and they showed me graves where their relatives who had been martyred by Stalin because of who they were, because of their faith. And then, a couple of years ago, I think you're aware that the bishop, our Bishop Bickerton, and most of the cabinet went to Zimbabwe to meet with our East and West United Methodist, East and West Zimbabwe annual conferences and our brothers and sisters there. In a similar way, I was staying with the superintendent there in the district that I was itinerating, in Makoni Buhera district. And one day when we were driving from one church to another, he explained to me about a few years earlier, three to be exact, United Methodist pastor had been killed by the government, and quite a few church members had been beaten and tortured because of their faith. There are martyrs today, by the way. And many of our own, some of our own, not many, but some of our own, are also martyred. And we praise God that they proclaim Jesus with their lives. That church in Zimbabwe continues to grow beyond anyone's expectation, adding many more to their numbers every week. So today is a day for blessing all of the saints and remembering all of the saints. And not just for those who simply died as Christians, but those who died because they claimed faith in Jesus. There's a prayer from a concentration camp, Ravensbrück, that was found. Listen to this prayer for one of those who died. Lord, remember also those who have heard us. Let me start over again. Lord, remember not only those of goodwill, but remember also those who have hurt us and those who have killed. Remember the fruit of courage, generosity, the greatness of heart that has grown from this cruelty. When all who have hurt us come to be judged by you, may their forgiveness be found in our company of love. That leads me to ask all of us, what would you die for? What would I die for? When we can answer that, perhaps we'll know what it is to join the praises of that white-robed army that we call all the saints on that first day, that is the last day, the first day of all creation. And what a contrast it is to the hurt and hate that we see every day, that we experience from friends and family and neighbors and enemies too. As we see the TV shows, perhaps, and political ads that work to engage the worst of our personalities with hate and half-truths and demeaning words, we as Christ's own today on this All Saints Day are called to more than that. we are called to not just say, but to live with every breath, just with the enthusiasm that our little granddaughter Ellie proclaims. We need to proclaim, that is my real Jesus. And so today, we receive communion. And don't take that receiving of communion lightly today. Receive this gift as something sacred, a sacrament. A gift of our connection, not just with United Methodists, but with Christians all over the world. Receive communion because Jesus is real. Receive communion because the gathered church is full of life. The church today breaking bread with the faithful church of all yesterdays. The faithful church of today and the faithful church of all tomorrows. Can you imagine when you receive that bread and that cup today? You are standing in that line with all those who have ever received Jesus' body and blood. Receive communion today because the church of Jesus Christ in the world is real. And it's living and it's a witness, embracing as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So today, receive communion and proclaim with all the enthusiasm of our little granddaughter Ellie, this is my real Jesus. God bless you.